Are you expecting a really cool gift for Christmas? Did you put everything you wanted on your wish list? We're going to talk about wish lists and expectations and gift giving. It's shopping time. It's time to get ready for Christmas. Let's talk about it right here, right now, on the Corner of Truth and Life. Stay tuned. Hello and welcome to the Corner of Truth and Life. This is Ira Hall, and we're talking about wish lists and giving and all that cool stuff. You know, one of the things that used to be so tough when I was a kid is, you know, my relatives would all ask my mom, what should we get the kids for Christmas, me and my sister? And so you had to kind of, you know, then there was stuff that we wanted and stuff that our folks thought we needed. And so you have kind of competing lists. And then you have to put that out there. And of course, it's a little, I always seem a little awkward to say, here's what you should buy me. You know, just there's a little bit of, I don't know, craziness to that. But now we have Amazon. And now you can put it on the list all year. And then when you see something, you can add it to your list and say, can I have that? And then people can just go. And we like that, because now when we're shopping for my wife's family, we enjoy knowing that we can get what they want, get what the kids want. We don't have to say, what do your kids want? We can just go to the wish list and pick it out. So that got me thinking, is what we're going to do over the next few episodes as we are gearing up for Christmas. If you're listening to us on a weekly basis, we're just past Thanksgiving at the time of this recording, and Christmas is a month away. And so we're going to be looking at Christmas issues and the whole Christmas thing, and do a bit of a series that way if you want to listen each week. And right now, what I want to talk about is the whole fact of just the gift that God gave us, which of course we celebrate at Christmas, the gift of Jesus. But did you know that that gift was first put on the list, first promised in Genesis? A lot of people don't realize that the coming of Jesus was predicted in Genesis. Right off the bat, in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve have messed up. They ate the fruit. They have incurred God's wrath. And now God is talking to them, and he's saying, you know, these are the consequences of your actions. You know, now they're going to suffer consequences. They have brought death into the world. And yet, one of the things that God says to Eve, and he's talking about that, you know, the devil led them into this, the devil helped them do this. And he says to Eve, I'm going to put enmity, or hatred, tension between you and the serpent. And he's not talking about that Eve's not going to be afraid of snakes. He's talking about Satan. And he says, I'm going to put enmity between your seed, that which is going to come out of you, your descendant, and his. And your seed will crush his head, and he will bruise his, the seed's, heel. And it's a very specific, and if you don't know the background, it can seem a little weird. Because it refers that the woman, Eve, is going to have an heir, seed. But it refers to this seed as a he. He will crush the head of the serpent. And in the original language, we lose a little in the translation. What he basically says is, as your seed crushes the serpent's head. In the act of crushing the head, he will be wounded by the serpent. The serpent will bite him as he's crushing him. The serpent will bite the foot that crushes him. And he's predicting Jesus. He's predicting the defeat of the power of Satan by Jesus. And of course, the wounding of Jesus refers to the crucifixion, the cross. And so right here in Genesis 3, the story's just getting started. I mean, Adam and Eve don't even have kids yet. They've just started out. And already God's saying, you know what? I'm going to fix this. I'm going to give you a present. I am going to give you a gift. I am going to fix what's gone wrong here. And he predicts the coming of the seed that will destroy the power of the serpent. Now, here's the thing. You know, when you're a kid, time, it goes slow. Like, I remember summer vacations that seemed to last years, and now summer vacations seem to last hours. But when you're a kid, everything goes slow, and that includes, you know, when will Christmas ever come? It seemed to take forever for Christmas to get here, as opposed to now where you're like, oh my goodness, I've only got 4 weeks left. But for a kid, that's like 10 years. Well, here God tells Adam and Eve, I'm going to fix this, and I'm going to send this seed that is going to change things for you. But they don't know how long that's going to take. They don't know when that's going to happen. And God had said, this will be your seed. So Eve tends to think that it will be one of her kids. That when she gives birth, it's going to be one of her kids that gives birth to this deliverer. And so she's anticipating this is going to happen right away. And so they begin to look for this gift right away and thinking, oh, maybe this is the son. So they have Cain and they have Abel, and they think this will do it. Well, of course, we know that Abel and Cain, that doesn't work out so well. In fact, Cain kills Abel in a fit of jealousy. But they have a third son, and of course many, many more kids. They have sons and daughters that all marry each other, and that's the beginning of the human race. But when they get their third son, they name him Seth, which means appointed, or it can mean weapon. And she thinks, oh, this is the one. This is it. This is the one who will crush the serpent's head. And of course, it wasn't to be. It was going to be a long time. And we'll talk about that more later in another episode. But it was going to be a long time. It was thousands and thousands of years. Thousands of years before it was time for the gift to be given. Now why did he wait so long? Why wait thousands of years? Why not just send him right now? Why couldn't it be one of Adam and Eve's own children as opposed to a great, 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 and onward grandson? Well, the Bible actually explains that too. It doesn't give us all the thinking in God's mind. It does not give all his rationale, though some of it we can probably recreate. But it says in Galatians that Jesus came in the fullness of time. And that phrase means at the exact right time, when the time was ripe. That at the exact right moment. Well, think about it. Because when Jesus came, he was going to come and his act of destroying the power of Satan was going to be to die, to be killed by mankind. So first you kind of had to have mankind up and running with enough of a population to be able to, you know, have a government and a death penalty and all that. Secondly, the whole point was the Messiah was going to suffer greatly. And of course, one of the best ways mankind has ever figured out how to kill another person is through crucifixion. It's a truly horrendous way to go. If the United States tried to do crucifixion these days, the Supreme Court would say it's cruel and unusual. You can't do it. It's that bad. It's about the worst way to go. And you might say, well, Ira, there's other terrible, terrible ways that really it's not a, there's not a huge difference. It's not like crucifixion is way crueler than any other way. Well, except that by the time crucifixion came along, it was one of the worst ways possible to die. But by the time it came along, it had also become culturally one of the worst ways to die. In other words, it wasn't just about the physical destruction it wrought on you, how long it took you to die, and the painful manner of your death as you basically suffocated to death while bleeding to death, while hanging because you've been nailed to a cross. There was also the fact that by the time it became in vogue, by the time Jesus is sent to it, it has built up a cultural understanding of this is the most shameful way to go. It's not just about the physical death. This destroys your pride in your person, so much so that the Bible said, cursed is anyone who dies on a tree, who dies this way. It's a curse. And so by the time Jesus comes, everything is in place for him to suffer at mankind's hands, and to suffer a not just a very physical death, but a very symbolic death, which was the point. The point was he was supposed to take our curse. He was reversing that curse from way back in Genesis, and yet it had taken time for civilization and man's history to bring all the pieces together, all the different things that were going to combine to make this moment in human history the most meaningful. I mean, think about it. Now, when you receive a Christmas gift, part of what makes it meaningful is it's a Christmas gift or a birthday gift. It's the occasion that makes the gift more special. It's the thought that goes into it and the timing. And God was no different. And he wanted to make sure everything was ready so that when he gave himself to us, when he sacrificed himself to us, that it would carry the maximum impact. It would communicate the most love he could communicate. And so he had waited and waited and waited, not just for the perfect gift, but for the perfect gift at the perfect time. And when that time was full, when that time had come to fruition, when the moment was right, then Jesus came. And he lived among us, and then he died for us. And way back in Genesis, all that had been predicted. That's when it was put on the wish list. That's when we were promised that the gift would come. But waiting is hard. Today we still wait, because now Jesus said, I'll be back. I'm going to bring my reward. I'm going to come back for you, and I'm going to bring you home with me. And again we wait. And again people say, why is he taking so long? And the Bible says, dear friends, he is not slow, the way some consider slowness, but he's patient. Because he wants more people. God is patient. He's a good gift giver. And as we consider the next few weeks, as we look at the coming of Christmas, and as you are getting ready to try to give the perfect gift to whoever you love, think about the amount of work God put into getting the perfect gift for you, his son. Now, the question is, will you open it? Will you receive it? Think about that today.
Thank you for listening to the Corner of Truth and Life. This has been a broadcast of the Beans Corner Baptist Church, located at the corner of 133 and 156 in North Jay. We would welcome you to join us each Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. for a service of music and challenge. If you would like to get more information on the church, listen to this show, past shows, or other messages, please visit us on the web at beanscorner.org or find us on Facebook.
Music today by Kevin MacLeod in Incompetech, Organic Meditations.
Thank you for listening, and we remind you to seek truth. This is Pastor Ira Hall. Have a great day.